Mitchell for House File 263, Representative Jacobson for House File 426, and Representative Thompson for House Joint Resolution 12.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Scott, Representative Paulson, for opening remarks on House Concurrent Resolution 10.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Concurrent Resolution 10 recognizes the importance of multilateral trade agreements to Iowa's economy and urges Congress to enact legislation to implement a multilateral trade agreement between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Mr. Speaker, I move the resolution.
Is there discussion on House Concurrent Resolution 10? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Fayette, Representative Berenger.
Trade with Mexico and trade with Canada are our two biggest partners, and it's important that we get this moving. I encourage support of this bill. Resolution.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair, gentleman from Scott, moves adoption of House Concurrent Resolution number 10. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is adopted. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Mahaska, Representative Height, for opening remarks on Senate File 220.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Senate File 220 is a simple bill which expands the Tax Act passed last year to increase 179 expensing for corporation and financial institutions to $70,000 for 2018 tax year from $25,000. Also increases the investment limitations from $200,000 to $280,000. This bill is retroactive for 2018 tax year. There is a fiscal note which estimates the costs of $620,000 for 2019, $430,000 for 2020, but also a general fund increase over the next 7 years totaling $1 million. Those are my opening comments.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Pottawatomie, Representative McConkie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I worked on a subcommittee on this bill. This is a prime example. It was a cleanup from the tax bill last year when you rushed through. When we have to come back and correct this. This is going to have a budget, going to have a hit on this year's budget and next year's budget. However, it's just expensing. It would able to give these corporations and limited liability corporations the same advantage they should have had on the tax bill. So I am in support of this. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Mahaska, Representative Height, for closing remarks on Senate File 220.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to thank my subcommittee and would move the bill.
The gentleman from Mahaska moves the bill to be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. Clerk will read.
Senate File 220, a bill for an act relating to the increased expensing allowance deduction by corporations, financial institutions, and partnerships, and limited liability companies taxed as corporations, and including effective date and retroactive applicability provisions, being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question noted. Shall the bill pass? Those in favor of passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Shipley votes aye. Klein votes aye. Jones votes aye. Running Mark Court votes aye. Hall votes aye. Abdul Samad votes no. Meyer of Polk votes aye. Have you all now voted? Clerk, close the machine, record your vote. The House pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 87, nay 7, absent, not voting 6. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to pass the House. Are there objections to the title? Chair hears none. Title is agreed to. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Henry, Representative Mitchell, for opening remarks on House File 263.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, House File 263 removes requirement for loan application fee when consumer is not approved for the loan. Essentially what this bill does is for people
Speaker, HF 426 deals with the regulatory authority to investigate insurance fraud along with background checks and fingerprinting for news license applicants. Would like to thank my subcommittee members Forbes and Landon. These conclude my opening remarks.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Forbes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I did serve on the subcommittee. This is our annual insurance omnibus bill that covers many different topics, and I think one of the most important parts of the bill is it does give more protections for consumers when they're dealing with agents to make sure that they're vetted very well and fingerprinted. So I think this is a good bill and would ask for your support. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Pottawatomie. The gentleman from Pottawatomie moves the bill read for last time placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. The clerk will read.
House File 426, the bill for an act relating to the Insurance Fraud Bureau, criminal history checks for licenses granted by the Insurance Division, and resolving inconsistencies, being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Abdul Samad votes aye. Ellert votes aye. Shipley votes aye. Have you all now voted? Close the machine and record your vote. The House pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 94, nay, 0, absent, not voting 6. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? Chair hears none. Title is agreed to. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Dallas, Representative Hagenow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're going to reorder the debate just a little bit. At this time, please recognize Representative Worthen for House File 482, Representative Jennery for House File 487, Representative Height for House File 514, and Representative Henson for House File 594.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Buena Vista, Representative Worthen, for opening remarks on House File 482.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House File 482 deals with Section 321.477 of the
482, a bill from act relating to Department of Transportation employees designated as peace officers, including effective date provisions, being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question no issue, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Abdul Samad votes aye. Cahoon votes aye. Shipley votes aye. Hall votes aye. Ellert votes aye. Klein votes aye. Upmeyer votes aye. Have you all now voted? Clerk, close machine, record your vote. The House pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye 91, nay 3, absent not voting 6. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to pass the House. Are there objections to the title? Chair hears none. Title is agreed to. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Plymouth, Representative Jennery, for opening remarks on House File 487.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Bill 487 relates to the installation of certain wireless telecommunications infrastructure, that is a transmission tower, and prohibits authorities from denying an application for a nationwide public safety broadband network tower in counties with populations of less than 15,000 people. This bill comes about after the attack by terrorists on 9/11, when first responders could not communicate over existing cell phone towers. Since that event, the country has embarked on the development of the First Responder Network, also known as FirstNet. This bill is necessary to ensure that Iowa meets its FirstNet build-out goals of coverage for 99% of the population and 98% of the geographical area. House Bill 487 is about public safety and provides for communication in rural areas not already covered. It is imperative that all of our first responders be able to communicate in emergency situations. This bill was passed out of committee on a unanimous vote, and I ask for the support of the full House, and I would like to thank my subcommittee chairs, Representative Cassina and Representative Worthen.
Is there discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Woodbury, Representative Cassina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I will be voting yes on this bill today, but I do have some problems with the way it went about. As you know, or you might not know, we did not go through all the we did not go through the courts with this bill. We went around the courts to get to this area. This is an important tower that needs to be built, but at the same time, understand that this decision to build this tower affects 48 other counties in this state. This is a local control issue that I think we should all be aware of, and I hope that we do not have to go around the courts on future bills here. Once again, I will be supporting this bill, and I thank you for your time.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Plymouth, Representative Jennery, for closing remarks on House File 487. The gentleman from Plymouth moves the bill before the last time place on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. Clerk will read.
House File 487, a bill for an act related to installations of certain wireless telecommunications infrastructure in the state and including effective date provisions, being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question no issue, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Upmeyer votes aye. Donahue votes aye. Marquardt votes aye. Hall votes no. Abdul Samad votes aye. passed the House. Are there objections to the title? Chair hears none. Title is agreed to. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Mahaska, Representative Height, for opening remarks on House File 514.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House File 514 has a companion Senate file, so I ask unanimous consent to substitute Senate File 113 for House File 514.
Gentleman from Mahaska asks unanimous consent to substitute Senate File 113 for House File 514. Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. We're now on Senate File 113. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Mahaska, Representative Height, for opening remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate File 113 is a bill that provides a person who is convicted of an OWI third offense, third or subsequent offense, if the offender otherwise qualifies, can be sentenced as a habitual offender. This bill is to address the holding in Knoll versus Iowa District Court for Muscatine County, handed down last October by the Iowa Supreme Court. Previously, it appears that the practice was to actually charge and sentence certain OWI third offenders as habitual offenders. This bill simply codifies that. Those are my opening comments.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd ask you to support this. It merely allows a felony OWI to be utilized as a predicate felony for our habitual offender statute.
Seeing no further discussion, the gentleman from Haskell moves the bill for the last time placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. Clerk will read.
Senate File 113, a bill for an act allowing certain operating while intoxicated offenders to be sentenced as habitual offenders and making penalties applicable, be it enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question of the shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Meyer votes aye. Thompson votes aye. Jacoby votes aye. Hall votes aye. Abdul Samad votes aye. Klein votes aye. Shipley votes aye. Have you all now voted? Clerk, close the machine, record your vote. The House pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 94, nay, 0, absent, not voting 6. The bill having received the constitutional majority is declared to pass the House. Are there objections to the title? Chair hears none, and the title is agreed to. Chair recognizes the lady from Lynn, Representative Hinson, for opening remarks on House File 594.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Children are not supposed to die. It's a tough on the parents. It's traumatic for the caregivers. But that end-of-life care for children is something that parents must handle. This bill, House File 594, clarifies that the court shall not override a parent's or guardian's interest when it comes to removing life support for their child, unless it is proven that that child is essentially dead. So that means unless there is conclusive medical evidence that the child would be dead without mechanical or artificial means keeping a vital function of life going, their breathing or their heart, it is up to the parents or the guardians to make that call. There may be cases where the parents disagree, and there is legal precedent for a court to hear both sides, and then the court in those cases could make the call on which parent would be able to make the ultimate decision for the child. These are my opening comments, and there is an amendment on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
There is an amendment. The clerk call up the amendment.
H1009 by Wessel Crichel of Story.
Chair recognizes the lady from Story, Representative Wessel Crichel, for opening remarks on Amendment H1009.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Representative Hinson, you are are so right that this is clearly not a situation that any parent wants to face. I've had two close friends who have had to face this heartbreaking situation, and I feel in many ways as I have lived it with them. As I studied this bill, I found that it raised more questions for me than it answered. What is the process that happens if parents disagree? What is the process if doctors say there is no hope, nothing can be done, and there is, and I quote the bill, conclusive medical evidence that the minor child has died? What happens if there is no parent available or willing to make the decision for her child? What happens? Over the past week, I was able to talk to a pediatrician who shared with me what happens at our hospital. And that is, we do have a board of ethics at our hospital. And when parents are unable to make the decision, and there is no hope for the child, and the physician can no longer ethically write orders for the child to continue on life support, the physician will ask that another provider be chosen by the parents. Looking around a little bit more, I found language that comes from the American Medical Association Journal, the Ethics Journal. And that's where my amendment comes from. My amendment states that the courts do not, just as the bill does, have the authority to withdraw life support unless there are some very specific situations, such as the parents disagree, or there is not a parent willing to make the decision. I prefer that parents make these decisions no matter how hard it is for them. However, we have an excellent third branch of government who I believe is there to step in when we have conflict. Those are my opening comments, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the lady from Lynn, Representative Henson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and the gentlemen of the House, while I appreciate the research that Representative Wessel Crochelle did in coming up with this amendment, I think that in essence we'd be creating death panels by allowing these things to happen. I appreciate that hospitals have process for this, but I also believe while the courts do have a role in this, they should be appointing a guardian. There are emergency procedures to have that that process play out in the courts, but that guardian should be the one to make that decision. So I would ask the body to reject this amendment. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the lady from Story, Representative Wessel Crochelle, for closing remarks on Amendment H1009.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I haven't heard that term death panel in a long time. Certainly as a way to stop discussions about what needs to be done in the end of life. It is a tough time. I'll never forget the phone call I got from my very dear friend when she had to make the decision for her child. I don't think you would call my friends a death panel, and they did make it.
discussion?